Debate still surrounds the new tax cut package that President Bush signed into law yesterday. Tax specialists around Washington have been combing through the final version, and it turns out that 12 million children in low-income working families will not qualify for the child tax credit. NPR's Peter Overby reports on how late negotiations changed the bill.
The tax cut package sweetens the child tax credit for the middle class. But for lower-income families, say husband, wife, and two children with an income of $20,000, it doesn't do anything. Senator Blanche Lincoln, an Arkansas Democrat, thought she had corrected this glitch with an amendment that passed the Senate. But her provision was knocked out when a handful of House and Senate Republicans and the White House worked out the final version. Robert Greenstein, director of the Liberal Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, explains the consequences for that $20,000-a-year family.
That family under current law gets a child tax credit of $950. Under the Lincoln Amendment, they would have gotten a $475 increase. Because the Lincoln Amendment was eliminated in conference, they get no increase in their child tax credit, and they get no tax benefits whatsoever from any part of the new legislation.
The Lincoln Amendment would have cost $4 billion or less. At the White House press briefing this afternoon, spokesman Ari Fleischer said that was just too much.
Many choices get made. For example, people of different income levels don't even get a child credit. There are many people who don't qualify because their income levels are too high to even get a dollar's worth of a child credit, and they pay a considerable amount of income taxes.
But if this bill is rough on the working poor, it also turns out to be disappointing to a lot of corporate lobbyists. That's because it was passed without any of the amendments targeted for individual companies that commonly find their way into tax law. In fact, this whole bill is less than 50 pages long, by Capitol Hill standards, a pamphlet. One reason for that is that the White House wanted no amendments, and it got the cooperation of the Tax Relief Coalition, a huge alliance of business groups. Jade West of the National Association of Wholesale Distributors helped run the coalition.
No member of the Tax Relief Coalition, of which I'm aware, lobbied for any industry-specific or company-specific tax provision.
The legend of Gucci Gulch is somewhat overstated.
Ken Keyes knows Gucci Gulch. That's Washington lingo for the hallways where tax lobbyists gather outside the Senate and House committee rooms at bill drafting time. Keyes used to work inside those rooms as staff director of the Ways and Means Committee. Now he's one of Washington's top tax lobbyists. But this time, lobbyists couldn't convince Ways and Means Chairman Bill Thomas to play ball in the House. And the conference dropped not only the Lincoln Amendment, but a series of other Senate amendments benefiting citrus growers, the beer industry, and custom gunsmiths, among others. Still, the news was not entirely dismal for the lobbyists behind those amendments. Keyes notes that from now on, they can argue that they got through the Senate and just need to clear one more hurdle.
It's not completely cynical because the tax legislative process doesn't just end. It's an ongoing process that continues year after year. And so sometimes ideas take some time to mature.
Maybe less time than you'd think. Chris Bergen at the nonprofit organization Tax Analysts says it's not like the old days when lobbyists scrambled to get aboard the one tax bill that was moving.
There's generally a feeling now, and the Republicans have made it very clear, they're going to attempt to pass a tax bill every year and maybe more than one every year.
One prime example, a bill to change the tax rules for some multinational corporations. Word around town is that this bill is moving this summer, and it's open to amendments. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.